Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the work of a Miss Patience Fullerton. Are you familiar with the work of Miss Patience Fullerton?
Hello and welcome to another Series 5 episode of Keeping Up Appearances, the luxury podcast. This is the companion podcast for exploring the world of Hyacinth Bouquet in the hit BBC sitcom Keeping Up Appearances. My name's Jonathan Vernon-Smith, and with me, ready to secure me against intruders, is William Hanson.
Hello, Jonathan and I are here for the final series because, as you know by now, we absolutely love Hyacinth and her world in Keeping Up Appearances.
In each episode of this luxury podcast, William and I will take you through an episode of the BBC sitcom, delving deep into the world of the bouquets. And today is the sixth episode of the series, Country Estate Sale. Do take us through the synopsis, please, William.
Hyacinth makes a reluctant Richard take her to a country house auction where she foolishly bids for some wine. This is after Richard has prevented her from enthusiastically bidding for other items, which he knows are out of their league and which she wants purely because of their aristocratic associations. They meet up with his lordship afterwards and the wine proves to be quite strong. It's a great episode.
Oh, this is so good. It's so good for the end. You have to hold on for the end.
You do. It's a lovely... better than Skis?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely better than Skis. We begin in Wainy Elm, in bed again.
Yes.
Richard can't sleep. He's exceptionally worried about the sale.
And it's nice. Normally we see Hyacinth waking up, worrying if maybe her mobile phone isn't charged in a future episode, if she's got the right word for waterside suppers. But in this instance, it's Richard. So it's nice to have it the other way around. Mm.
In your relationship, who wakes one another up? Do you ever wake Mikey up or vice versa?
What, because I'm worried about the country house sale?
Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no! Do you ever say things like that in bed? And how would that go down?
It wouldn't go down very well.
No, I can imagine.
Mikey takes sleep very seriously.
I think Hyacinth is, she's quite good that she accepts him waking her up.
Yes.
To say how kind of worried he is about this impending sale.
Yeah, but maybe as you get older and later in life and you don't sleep as much, you become less concerned. What's it like for you? Because I think it's an age thing. Because my mother doesn't sleep.
Thank God this podcast is nearly over.
Why?
Oh, I can't take much more of this abuse. Sorry, so your mother...
mother doesn't sleep. Well, I'll always say, do you sleep all right if I'm staying with them or on holiday? No, didn't sleep.
Why?
She just doesn't sleep.
Got a lot on her mind. like what?
She'll just worry about everything.
Right.
My mother is a worrier.
Oh.
I worry, but not quite to that level.
Oh.
Though I think I am becoming a bit more like her.
Are you?
Yeah.
Highly strung.
Yes. Yeah. But if I woke my... I wake Mikey up sometimes if I have a mouse dream.
Oh, one of your infamous mouse dreams.
Yes. To be fair, since the hypnotherapy, they have become almost nil.
Oh,
and
good.
If I do have one, I sort of just... very nicely get out of bed, rather than scream.
And when you get out of bed, what do? Go and search for the property for mice?
No, because I always want to run away.
Oh.
In fact, when we were in Paris a few weeks ago now, we were sitting having lovely dinner, and I was on a banquette on the edge of the restaurant. Don't laugh at banquette. What would you call it?
Yeah, so sorry, you're there on a banquette, William.
You're Mikey, looking into the rest of the restaurant. And there was actually a very irritating couple of sort of LA women talking very loudly. In fact, one of them said at one point, "He's just so annoying, he makes me want to shave my head." And we were talking about this. And then all of a sudden, I noticed the person who was not wanting to shave her head just look down and then look up going, yeah, a nod.
Yeah.
And being, I don't know what the technical phrase is for being petrified of mice and rats, I know that look. Right. And I looked at them and they looked at me and I went, "Can I just ask, is there a..." And they went, "Yeah, there's a mouse." Well, that was me gone. And I ran into the kitchen.
Oh, William.
And then all the staff eventually sort of clocked that there was a diner in the kitchen. I went, "I'm so sorry, there's a mouse."
You went into the kitchen in a restaurant in Paris?
Because it was sort of round the corner.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And it was a different room. But I got a free...
Mice are about this big.
I know.
What do you think it's going to do to you?
Run up my leg.
It's not going to run up your leg. Can't get up there with your calves. There's no room.
Anyway, I got a free glass of house red.
That's nature's way of protecting you against the mice.
Yes.
Onslow and Daisy are also in bed.
Yes.
And Rose comes in.
There's more banging going on.
Yeah. Daddy's promised to marry someone.
Mrs. Braddock.
Mrs. Braddock. We find out more about her a little later.
What a clunky name, Braddock.
It is clunky.
Sorry to any Braddocks out there.
Well, why did he promise to marry her?
He says he didn't. He said he only offered her a temporary position.
I know just how she feels.
Back at Wainy Elm, Hyacinth is getting ready for the sale.
Yes, she's humming and singing.
She is. She's trying on hats.
Does it look like a mingling with the aristocracy hat?
Yes. She wants an aristocratic hat.
And I love this little wobble she does as she twirls in front of Richard.
Now, interestingly, we cross to Liz and Emmett's house, and they are also heading out somewhere, although at this stage we don't know where.
Yes, and I like the sort of the mirroring that Hyacinth is looking in the mirror at her hat, and then we cut to Liz, and Liz is looking in the mirror at her hat.
Yeah.
To actually maybe show, maybe they're slightly similar.
Yes, kind of. Hyacinth and Richard, they leave in the Rover.
Yes.
And Hyacinth is kind of looking at herself in the mirror and wondering whether she might be mistaken for an aristocrat.
And as she comes out of the front door of Wainy Elm, I love her sort of pose that she does.
Yes.
It's an sort of QE2-esque when she emerges. It's lovely. It's very nice. And it's nice. Well, I say it's nice. There was something that jarred for me. That Richard says that Hyacinth spends like an aristocrat. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the aristocracy, but they don't like to spend.
No, they don't.
They're not very spending.
No.
And I thought, no, aristocrats don't really spend.
People with old money don't spend a lot.
No.
It's only the nouveau riche that do.
Yes. They will, however, there is one exception for when they spend, if it's on a horse.
Okay.
Their stables will always be immaculate, and they'll spend whatever money needed to look after the horse.
Yeah.
But the house, no.
And the car. Very often they drive quite old cars, don't they?
Yeah, clapped down old thing.
Yeah, old carpets, threadbare carpets.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's very common for everything to be immaculate.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. We're very common.
Yeah, I think I know which category we fall into.
Yes.
Onslow and Daisy are discussing Mrs. Braddock again. Mm. It's just a brief moment, I think, just to keep her in our awareness as we watch this. Hyacinth and Richard, meanwhile, are now lost.
Richard's in an argumentative mood because he made a very offhand comment about her hat.
Yeah. Have you noticed when Richard says he's lost, the sound is not synced to the vision?
Oh, no.
And he says, "We're lost." And then about 2 seconds later, you see his lips mouth, "We're lost."
Is this a shot sort of from...
In the car. They're driving in the car. And Richard says, "We're lost." But his lips don't move. It comes out. Yeah, watch it again.
Oh, I didn't notice this. Mm. Okay.
Noticed it several times when I've watched that.
Well, that's going to irritate me now.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I've ruined it for you. Mm. Onslow and Daisy are eating bacon sandwiches. I don't like the way they're eating their bacon sandwiches. Do you know why?
Why?
Not toasted bread.
Oh, would you do a toasted bap?
When you have a bacon sandwich, how do you like it?
I don't have a bacon sandwich.
You don't have bacon sandwiches?
I can't think of anything worse.
What?
Sorry.
What do you mean?
I just... All that bread.
Wow.
And there's nothing wet. That sounds awful when you say it like that. But I just like a bit of moist. It just seems so dry.
Oh.
No, and on Treasure Quest, you always used to talk. Bacon sandwiches were a whole thing.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking, no, I can't.
We have a bacon sandwich every Wednesday at work.
Oh.
Yeah, producer Liz goes to a special luxury establishment to pick up a bacon bap.
Wow.
Yeah. Every Wednesday. It's not helping the fat back.
No.
No. But I do love it.
Smoked, unsmoked bacon?
Unsmoked.
Okay.
Don't like smoked bacon.
No.
But it's always got to be, if you're going to have it in a sandwich, it's got to be toasted bread.
Hmm.
And I don't like the fact they've just used white.
Well, because
untoasted.
They're lazy, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't like a bacon sandwich. Aren't
Sorry.
You odd?
No. But I do. What I do like, though, is the look on Daisy's face as she eats her bacon sandwich.
Oh, she's loving it, isn't
yeah,
she? Absolutely
is.
Loving it. They're worried. Well, I say they're worried. They're more worried about Daddy, who's worried, because Mrs. Braddock might be outside.
Yes, and she bites.
She does bite, yes. We quickly learn that Mrs. Braddock is clearly a woman to be feared.
Mm.
We're not quite sure why yet, apart from the fact that she bites. We soon find out, though.
We do.
Meanwhile, Hyacinth is map reading.
And we know from the QE2 episode that she's not a very good map reader. I don't know why Richard has let her read that map after so many years of marriage.
Yes. And they have this kind of conflab, and then as they're driving, they pass Liz and Emmett coming the other way. And that's when they both say, I didn't like Hyacinth's hat. I didn't like Elizabeth's hat.
No, it's nice. Again, it's good mirroring.
Thank heavens they're going the other way.
I didn't like Hyacinth's hat.
I didn't like Elizabeth's hat.
Onslow and Daisy, we cross back to them, and Onslow is sent out of the house to go and have a search for Mrs. Braddock.
And Daisy gets so sort of clingy and is worried that, you know, Onslow's about to sort of go over the top and starts giving him a hug and a kiss. It's very, I mean, it's sort of, she obviously loves him. We know that.
Yes, and we also know that Mrs. Braddock bites.
She does. And eventually, she jumps out of the car where the dog normally is, and Onslow falls in the bush.
Nice, isn't it?
And again, continuing this sort of series five, how can we just sort of take the jokes and do them differently or extend them? It's nice.
She's kind of barked at him like a rabid animal in the back of the car.
Yes.
And it's very clear that she's scared the dog off.
Yes. You know,
the dog's done a runner.
So Onslow starts to look for the dog. And is shouting, here, girl, here, girl. I don't know if at this point we have ever realised the sex of the dog at this point.
She's just called girl.
Girl. Oh, is she? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Onslow turns around and Mrs. Braddock has somehow come out the car and is standing there looking out and goes, I'm here, love.
Hyacinth and Richard are still lost. Liz and Emmett, meanwhile, pull into a stately home. And it's that moment that we realise they are also heading to the sale.
Yes.
The country sale. Have you ever been to a country sale like that?
No.
No, I haven't either.
Looks quite nice.
It does.
Nice day out.
Yes. Luxury, executive.
Yeah.
One or two little artefacts for your property.
Objet d'art.
Mm-hmm.
A niche or two for my objet d'art. An objet, no. What is it?
An objet d'art for my
niche. No,
a niche. Oh.
Well, there is a line there,
yes,
isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Yes. Let us know, Bucketheads, what it is.
Onslow and Daisy and Rose, we cross back to them. There's a funny banging on the TV moment, have you noticed, where Daisy asks what channel he wants it on, and she kind of bangs on the top and then on the side, because that's for BBC Two, I think.
Yeah, I like that. I thought that was very funny. And Daisy dunks her chip, talking more chip chat, dunks it in the tea.
Yes.
Disgusting.
The dog is on Onslow's lap because obviously the dog's got nowhere to live now.
No.
Now Mrs. Braddock's living in her car.
Yeah, it's not nice at all. Going back to when Liz and Emmett arrive at the house, talk of the house. Obviously I looked it up.
Where is it?
Where do you think it is?
Is it Northamptonshire?
It is. It is Compton Wynots, which is near Upper Tyso. And actually, I know a very good colleague that lives in that part of the world.
Oh.
Yes. So I shall now go and visit it when I go and visit my colleague. I didn't realise it was literally 5 minutes away.
Oh, lovely.
And it was built for Sir Edmund Compton. And it's now the seat of the Marquess of Northampton. They actually have two, the Marquisate of Northampton. There's Castle Ashby, mm-hmm. which is the commercial, and they actually don't live there. They've just sort of made that a tourist attraction. And where they actually live is Compton Wynots.
Well, I never.
So there we go.
Well, it looks a beautiful property.
Yes. I do think that Emmett in that dialogue, he's setting himself up for a fall. Oh, it's lovely to have a day without Hyacinth. I mean, we all know what's coming.
Yeah, we're all in on it. They're not yet.
I also like the fact that sort of there is a parking sign that is literally down the side of Compton Wynots, and you can fit one car. And that's where the parking, that's where Liz and Emmett park. You're not going to be able to park anywhere else. The rest of them are out the front. But I guess you've got to have the car somewhere else.
Yes.
Because then Hyacinth doesn't notice it.
Quite. They do finally arrive, Hyacinth and Richard. Oh, yes. I do like the house, she says. And Hyacinth still thinks that people will mistake her for an aristocrat.
Mm.
She asks some advice as they arrive on where the sale is and accidentally finds herself asking my lord.
Yeah, she doesn't realise it's the lord of the manor until the butler comes out.
Yes.
And calls him my lordship.
My lordship.
And then says her ladyship would like a word. Yes. Which is very much sort of... how do I say this? It's the terminology you'd use if you were employed by a lord or lady.
Okay.
It's not sort of what you would call them on a social level.
Oh, okay.
It's employment speak.
Oh.
If that's even a thing.
Right. My yes. lord.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you call them if you were, you know...
Well, it does depend on what... We don't know this person's title, so we don't know which rank of the peerage he is.
So he might be a sir.
Well, that's not the peerage.
Oh.
That's just a knight.
So he would be Lord something or another.
Yeah, and one of the sort of questions I get asked a lot by friends is, oh, how do you address a lord?
It's the surname, isn't it?
Well, yes, not necessarily, because you can have different types of lords. So a duke, which is the highest rank, is not a lord, actually.
Right.
He is the Duke of Devonshire, for example, okay. referred to as Your Grace, or Duke. And then after that, you then have Marquess, which is the Marquess of Northampton, and that would be Lord Northampton. Mm. If you put in the first name, so everyone always, in sort of etiquette land, this might be quite boring, in etiquette land, everyone gets very animated when, let's say, Lord Sugar, famous lord that people know from The Apprentice, used to be Sir Alan Sugar, will appear on television and the caption, the name strap, will say Lord Alan Sugar. Well, that is right. He is not Lord Alan Sugar. Lord first name, last name is how you style the younger son of various ranks of the peerage.
Wow.
You should actually just say Lord Sugar or Alan, comma, Lord Sugar.
Because you know I'm a lord.
I do.
So I'm
supposedly.
No, it's not supposedly. No, William.
Well.
So I am a lord because one of my radio listeners some years ago bought me a small amount of land in Scotland. It's a square foot. And apparently, because I own a square foot of land in Scotland, I am Lord Jonathan Vernon Smith of Glencoe.
Well, you would be Lord Vernon Smith of Glencoe.
Well, that's right. Well, that's why I wanted to clarify this, just so I know how you should be addressing me. Anyway, why are you poo-pooing my title?
I think technically... Can I jump in here? You're a laird.
I am a laird. In Scotland. That's true. I'm a laird.
And I think you'll find probably about 400 different other people have claim on that square footage of land.
Sorry? Are you suggesting that I don't solely own that one square foot?
And what, the whole thing might be a scam?
You are joking.
You could investigate it for Consumer Hour.
I was going to build something on it.
A house for an ant.
And if people should mistake me for someone aristocratic, I don't want you telling them I'm not. It'll simply confuse them.
But Hyacinth...
It's only good manners to let them believe it.
Hyacinth is... they're in the sale, and Hyacinth is looking for Gainsborough's Blue Boy.
Which is a real painting.
You looked it up, did you?
Yes. It's not. You're not going to sort of find it at Compton Wynots. But it's a very nice painting, if you like... A blue boy.
When the gentleman says that they don't have Gainsborough's Blue Boy. She then says, well, have you got something with a nice basket of flowers?
Maybe something by Miss Patience Fullerton. Yes. Who is made up.
Or something from Van Cough.
You can almost smell the flowers.
Oh! Speaking of which, I'd better get that. It's probably his lordship.
We'll be back momentarily.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back, Bucketheads. We're still discussing the sixth episode of the fifth and final series, Country Estate Sale. And we are in now the auction chamber. Yes. I can't work out whether what is a set and what is Compton Wynot's. I think the corridor is real.
Yeah.
But I think the auction chamber is a set.
Oh, okay.
Is my gut. But I'm going to try and visit Compton Wynot's.
There's a brief moment before the auction starts, though, when Liz and Emmett are busy looking at some stuff and they hear Hyacinth's unmistakable voice, and Liz, in her usual style, drops the silver cup that she's holding at the time. Thankfully, Emmett catches it.
Yes.
So that's when we find out that they've realised Hyacinth and Richard are there, because they then disappear for a while, don't they?
They scurry like mice.
Not to be seen. The bidding starts, and Hyacinth is desperate to start bidding for things.
She doesn't really understand
no.
how auctions work. And actually, you don't want to pay the highest price for something.
No. Richard tells her to sit on her hands.
Yes.
Sit on your hands.
And then there's a slightly odd musical sequence that maybe feels a little out of place. And also earlier, when Liz and Emmett arrived, there was a little musical flourish. Mm. Now, in Series 1, we got quite a few musical flourishes.
It could be me on my keyboard.
It could be. In fact, I think you would do a better job. It's an odd musical flourish. But then, yes, there is this sort of shot of Hyacinth sticking a hand up and Richard trying to pull it down. Mm. And then we get Lot 142, which is this lovely ornamental screen.
Yes. And as the screen is moved, Liz and Emmett were hiding behind it.
Mm. And but Hyacinth is, again, she's an optimist.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Liz and Emmett.
Yeah.
She's not, what are they doing hiding behind the screen?
Hiding behind the screen. Finally, after a lot of false starts with the bidding for poor Hyacinth, an item comes up that Richard is happy for her to bid on. 6 bottles of the Dowager Lady Ursula's homemade gooseberry wine.
Yes, and clearly Lady Ursula was an expert in the production of country wine.
Yes. Hyacinth bids, and she wins it for £10.
Yes, and she's there. They're clutching the wine as they leave Compton Wynot's, and his lordship appears again. Of course, she knows exactly who he is now, and he goes a little bit Leslie Phillips. Hello. It's a little bit affected.
Oh, you've bought some of old Mumsy's dynamite, she says.
And then they, actually very affable. He agrees, yes, we'll crack open a bottle.
Yes, but I think it's because I think he's got the hots for our Hyacinth.
Oh, because Randy, members of the aristocracy or gentry, always tend to.
They love Hyacinth. Yeah. Because she says, why don't we go and have a drink? And he says, oh, yeah, let's go and have some of my mum's dynamite. And in they go. And then he kind of shuts the door on poor Richard.
Who's standing by to crack.
Who's trying to get in there with the bottles.
Yeah.
Oh, I do hope, Your Lordship, that someday you'll give me the pleasure of entertaining you at one of my candlelight slippers.
Cut to, and this is what it's all been worth it for.
Yes.
Cut to, the door reopens, Hyacinth comes out, and she's absolutely trolleyed.
And we hear her singing, Noel Coward's the stately homes of England,
yeah.
How beautiful they stand, which is lovely. And she's so funny drunk.
She is so funny drunk. And the thing is, so I discussed alcohol on my radio programme today.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I haven't heard it today.
And we were talking about alcohol and I was, you know, I was being very honest about the fact that I enjoy being squiffy.
Do you?
I love it.
Oh, I picked up on that. You hide it well.
But a number of people were contacting my programme to say, you know, oh, I've never been drunk.
Oh.
Never been drunk. Why would I want to? And I think this moment when Hyacinth appears from the door, and I'm gonna put it as it is. Mm. She's pissed as a fart.
Yes.
She is. But that surely is the absolute example,
yeah,
of how funny it can be to be drunk.
But only if you're a fun drunk.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to be.
Because some people are violent.
Oh, no.
Some people are needy.
Well, Hyacinth does get a bit violent, doesn't she?
She does.
She does, which again, I mean, it's very funny. But she's been necking the old Dowager Lady Ursula's homemade gooseberry wine, hasn't she?
Yes, in fact, she calls it the Dowager Lady Ursula's home goose wade berry mine.
I love the scene as Richard's trying to get her in the Rover and she's very drunk and he's trying to put the seatbelt on her. And she accuses him of trying to tie her up. And then there's this moment where he then kind of, the seat collapses and he falls in the back of the car. It's hilarious.
It is so funny. And then there's all the driving in the car. Hyacinth decides that she wants to take a gift to Daddy. And you can sort of see that Richard is thinking, I don't think that's a good idea.
This time she wants to take a bottle of the Dowager Lady Ursula's Gourmet Woodsbury Hand. What's the most drunk you've ever been?
Oh, the most drunk I've ever been. I think it was after...
Is it with me?
Close, yeah. Second, I think you were.
God.
It was... That was...
Because you did lose the ability to talk.
Yes.
Do you remember?
That was like my second time drinking
ever.
That
time in Soho where you literally... I mean, it was almost like you were in a trance.
Yeah, and you had to order me a very big bread basket.
I did, yes.
I think it was probably more recently, during sort of COVID-y times when you could socialise outdoors, my friend Ella invited me over to watch Mary Poppins on her rooftop terrace. They had a little projector. And her husband, Josh, is a very good mixologist, and he did Mary Poppins-inspired cocktails. And I got home. Mikey had been working
electric. You couldn't resist, could you?
No. And I got home and Mikey had to put a bucket by the side of the bed. I did not use the bucket or bouquet, but that was, the room was absolutely spinning.
Terrible. And that's when you've gone too far.
Yes.
And I've had, in my younger year, not now, thankfully I've managed to get a grip of how much I can drink.
Which is a lot.
Which is quite a lot. But in my younger years, I used to get very drunk. I mean, I had my stomach pumped when I was six.
That's where it started.
I had to be rescued by a lifeguard in the south of France at the Canvas Holidays Welcome Barbecue when...
You were how old?
I was 13. And I was so drunk on the welcome punch that I jumped in the swimming pool with all my clothes. Because this. I was so drunk. I'd completely forgotten how to swim.
It's not funny. Don't try this at home.
So please don't. This should be a lesson to you, ladies and gentlemen. So I sank. And I had to be rescued, pulled out by this lifeguard. And once he'd established that I was okay, just very drunk and very wet, I assured him I would be okay finding my way back. The trouble is, every tent looked the same. So I tried to find, and I was unzipping everyone's flaps.
Wow. How did your parents react?
Oh, they were so horrified.
Did you jump in the pool in front of them?
No, because I was... So it was a welcome barbecue at this South France holiday. And my parents didn't realise the punch I was helping myself to was highly alcoholic. So I, as soon as I realised, of course, I was in yeah. it, you know, shoveling it down. And I got to a point where I knew I was so drunk that I had to get away from them because they would twig. So I kind of made an excuse and said I was going off for a walk and just threw myself in the swimming pool. I mean,
it's lucky there was a lifeguard.
It was. Oh, it's totally. I mean, there've been so many misses. I fell out of a moving car.
How old?
Oh, I would have been about. I think I was probably about 17 then. And a friend of mine took me to the pub, and he was driving, so he wasn't drinking anything. So I drank for the two of us. And then as we got to our fourth pub, I think, on this pub crawl, I was so excited to get into the bar that I kind of opened the door. As the car was still moving, I'd taken my seatbelt off, and he lost me out of the car.
It's a miracle you're still alive.
Dumped in the middle of a car park. So... Oh,
but
yeah.
Other than that, no alcoholic problems
no,
for you.
But I would always say, drink responsibly. Do you think people will listen to that sage warning? I hope so.
And what is nice, going back to Onslow and Daisy, is when they arrive at theirs, is that obviously Hyacinth's so drunk, she has Dutch courage, and she thinks... that she will be able to tackle the dog.
Yes. She has had a moment before, though, where she can't remember where they live. True. She starts walking in the wrong direction.
And she does that fun laugh.
So they get to the car, and she's decided she's going to scare the dog.
Yeah.
So she kind of sticks her head in through the window and goes...
And it's Mrs. Braddock.
Mrs. Braddock then woofs back, and Hyacinth genuinely falls
in the
bush. Head.
Yes.
And then she, after she's corrected herself and manages to get back up on her feet, she staggers towards the front door and says, "I do hope you'll all join me for a bottle of the Dowager Lady Ursula's Homo Gooseberoon," and then collapses.
And goes, "Hello.
Hello."
And it's a really nice ending.
It's so funny, isn't it?
Such a good episode.
Love it.
And we hope you've loved this as well.
Oh, we have. Now, if you want to keep up with the bouquets, you can listen to William and me chatting through every episode of Series 1, 2, 3 and 4. You should know by now, for the fifth and final series, we have a second weekly serving of the Luxury Podcast with genuine bonus embellishments.
We'll be back tomorrow with an even more luxurious sixth episode of our bonus release, where we will be looking at Patricia Routledge's musical mastery.
For now, though, cheerio.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Shrink the Box is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favourite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namone Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behaviour creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Box is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.